June, too soon. July, stand by. August, we must. September, remember. October, soon over. November, all over.
An old mariner's rhyme. In preparation for this hurricane season, Sagicor General reminds you to take all necessary safety precautions to protect yourself, home, car, family, and business. Get the protection you need from Sagicor General. Give us a call at 431-2800 or email us at getcovered@sagicorgeneral.com. Sagicor General, wise financial thinking for life.
Wise financial thinking for life. And we continue in our series with the kind compliments of Sagicor. And we're talking insurance. We're talking why do you need it? What type do you need? And how is it beneficial? And we continue this morning. And joining me this morning, let me say a special, give a special welcome to Richard Smith. And we also have Kerwin Motley. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Cash. Good
morning.
All righty. Now, we have so much information. As usual, there's a lot of information that we have to try to package and cram into this half an hour. And I know every week we try to focus on something different. So this week, I think we start off with talking about the preparedness, preparing for hurricane season. So that being the case, we know hurricane season every year is from the 1st of June to the 30th of November. It doesn't change, but yet it seems sometimes it catches people by surprise. Like, oh shoot, hurricane season. When do you think we should start preparing for the hurricane season, insurance-wise or in general?
In general, I think persons, it really depends on the individual, but persons, the best advice is always the earlier they start, the better. And there are two aspects of that. You can start as early as February or March to start developing your plan, especially if you have infrastructural changes to make to your home. But if you would have done some work last year on your household emergency plan and you're confident that it is relatively robust, then you could perhaps start a bit later. But I always say on the insurance side of it, you should be checking your insurance at least 3 months prior to the hurricane season, making sure that if you have done any updates or upgrades, that information is communicated to the insurance company. But generally, the earlier, the better. And of course, it also depends on your budget. So if you're going to be doing changes to your house to reinforce it, there's nothing wrong with a January or even a February start.
Mm-hmm. Now, that being the case, I mean, the preparation, it will probably encapsulate so many different elements, so many different areas, because it's not just a matter of, changing a window or maybe adding something else to the outside. Who then should be involved in the preparedness planning?
Well, the preparedness planning is really a family event. So if you have persons from as young as 5 years old, you should get them involved. Mm-hmm. And there are things that even a five-year-old can do to be part of the preparedness planning. And that's important because when you involve the young kids, obviously you develop your plan. The second phase is then testing your plan, sort of like a dry run. Mm-hmm. And the third phase would be actually then if it needs to go into place. But I'm sure that Kerwin could also chime in here with his thoughts on the ages and so on and who should be involved.
The age don't matter. The earlier, the better, once the child can understand, because like you correctly said, it is really a family matter. All should be involved. So once the child can understand the instructions, you should begin to get them prepared, because preparation isn't just about the physical, but preparation is also about the mental. So if at this point I could just remind you that the majority of persons don't believe that disaster will happen in their area. So we have to prepare our minds. So that's why it is necessary to get the young ones involved from as early as possible.
I'm glad you mentioned that there, because as much as we preach it every year, be prepared, try to dispel these God is a Bajan sort of myths. you try to get them to be prepared. And I'm glad that you highlighted the children, because then you have everyone being involved, everyone being aware of what needs to be done. Now, that being the case, and you're involving the family, what are some of the important things that we need to check before and while we're developing this plan?
Well, you need to look around your home and make sure that around your home is okay. As Richard mentioned earlier, if it is that you have trees, you may need to trim them. Mm-hmm. If you need to shore up your home, you may need to do that. But one of the things that you also want to do is to make sure that you learn about the disasters in your area. Now, yes, this is the hurricane season and we're preparing for the hurricane season, but other things happen as well. You can have flooding, you can have fire, you can even have, we hope we don't have any, but you can have surges and tsunamis as a result of all of these activities. Mm-hmm. So you need to be cognizant of the disasters that will happen in your area. Learn about them and try to prepare yourself so that you and your family could remain as safe as possible.
And the funny thing you mentioned about surges and such, yes, we also have to look out for the earthquakes or volcanoes which are in our area, which can result in these things as well. So it's not a matter of, you know, trying to be a fearmonger, but just allowing you to be aware of these here. So noting the possible disasters, then what are some of the major areas around your home in particular, or that you should be looking at when you're preparing for these disasters?
Well, one of the most vulnerable...
There are several areas that you can look at.
I know you're both eager to share the information.
Yeah, you go ahead, Curry.
Rock, paper,
sorry,
scissors.
There was a delay in the because of the Zoom, so there was a delay. So sorry about that, Richard. But one of the most vulnerable...
No, you go ahead, Curry.
In our home is the roof. And you want to make sure that your roof is properly affixed to your house. You might get some more information on that, I believe, in a further series when the engineer comes. But that's one of the things. And it's about 2% of your building cost to properly affix your roof to the rest of the structure. So that's one of the areas. Another area that is very vulnerable would be your openings, the windows and doors. And we build with a number of windows and glass that's not resistant to high pressure. So you may want to, and we'll talk about that even a little later, you would want to look around and see whether or not you need to shore up those areas. So those are some of the areas. And like I mentioned earlier, if there are any trees that are close by, if there are any dead branches that you may need to trim, you may need to look at those as well.
Yeah, one of the things I would add as well too is the thought of clearing drains, not the guttering on the house itself, but you may have some street side drainage that is in front of your property. And though many people don't see it as their responsibility, the direct impact often comes to the householder. So there's nothing wrong with making sure that the drains around your house are cleared, that leaf litter is removed. Some of these are sealed. So if you find that they are sealed, obviously you need to get in contact with the relevant government department. Mm-hmm. But keeping around them clear and free from debris is always a very important thing, because you want to reduce the chance of flooding in the event of a heavy rainstorm.
Now, just want to talk back to something that Curry mentioned when we talk about construction, and many of the some of the windows and the doors that we put in may not necessarily be resistant or resilient enough to hold up against some of these high winds. Is there a particular recommendation when someone comes for a policy that they upgrade or ensure that their house has the proper or strong enough windows and doors?
Well, what we do is that we recommend when persons are retrofitting, if they're doing any repairs, that they consider installing hurricane-resistant windows. Now, there's no such thing as a hurricane-proof, but hurricane-resistant. Or you can install shutters as well. That is very helpful. But it is a cost. We agree it's expensive. But I always say that if you're going to change out a window, yes, the rest of the house may be vulnerable, but you can do it one at a time. Just change your air window and try to use windows that are resistant. A lot of them may be up to category 3 or so, but those are some of the things you can do. Also, there may be a film that you can put on the window that you currently have that would also help to make it resistant to the forces of nature.
Mm-hmm. And these are all things that you can discuss with your insurance agent when you're discussing your policy as well.
Yes.
All right. Lovely. If you just tuned in, of course, this is 30 Minutes with the Kind Compliments of Sagicor. On the line today, we have Richard Smith, and we also have Corinne Botzel, and they're sharing lots of information with us. Wait, did I give it around? Motley. Who's Corinne Botzel? I don't know, calling wrong names. Corinne Motley, my apologies, sharing lots of information with us this morning. Quick break, and we'll be back with more.
June, too soon. July, stand by. August, we must. September, remember. October, soon over. November, all over.
An old mariner's rhyme. In preparation for this hurricane season, Sagicor General reminds you to take all necessary safety precautions to protect yourself, home, car, family, and business. Get the protection you need from Sagicor General. Give us a call at 431-2800 or email us at getcovered@sagicorgeneral.com. Sagicor General, wise financial thinking for life.
Wise financial thinking, and that's the important thing. Wise financial thinking, and it goes beyond so many things. And, you know, one of the things that people always mention about insurance, and they don't think they recognize the importance of it. They say, well, why do I really have to keep doing this here? But when you think about what you're paying, compared to what you may have to pull out of your pocket if you don't have it, it just makes perfect sense. It makes absolute perfect sense. So that's why it's appreciative that Sagicor shares with us every week. Now, in part of the preparation, one of the things that we always hear people talk about is a go bike. A go bike, something that I have an idea of what perhaps a go bike is. I watch some of these programs on TV. I don't know if they're go bag. It's the same go bag that I should have, but perhaps you guys can share some light on that there. What is a go bag?
It is just what the words say, a bag that you can grab and go. And like it to traveling. Now, when you're traveling, it's like a carry-on versus the rest of the luggage. You travel with your carry-on. So the go bag is simply that, a bag that in an emergency, you can just pick up and run with. So you don't want it to be too big or too small. You want it to be just the right size that you can easily travel with.
But why would it necessarily need it? Because, I mean, When the hurricane hits, you know, maybe just take my two hands and just run as fast as I can. Why should I concentrate on actually having that go bike?
Well, Cashy, if you run, that is true. If you run with your two hands, you may be able to save yourself during the hurricane. But what is going to happen after the hurricane? Mm-hmm. What's going to happen not only after the any emergency? What's going to happen? You need to survive. Even during the hurricane, you need to stay dry and warm. So the go bag will have in the essential documents, you will have food, anything that you need to survive for at least a minimum of 3 days. Mm-hmm. And now it's up to about 5 days. So a go bag is a necessary. It's going to help you to get through the disaster after. And usually, yes, during the disaster, during the hurricane, it's bad enough. But the problem comes not usually during, but after. So you definitely need the go bag.
Would you recommend a separate go bag for each family member?
Yes, each family member should have their own go bag. And one of the best things you can buy is a backpack. Because especially backpack designed for backpacking and camping, because there are a number of compartments in it and you can buy various sizes. Now, you're not going to buy the same go bag that you would buy for yourself, you would not buy for your child. Mm-hmm. So depending on the age, you will buy a go bag to suit. And it's always best, like clothing, to when you go shopping for a go bag, to take the child or children with you and actually have them fit the go bike, actually have them fit the bike so that you know you're buying a bike that's the right size, that is comfortable and that everybody like. So that if you have to walk and the bike is too big, it is going to cause pain and injury to the child. Mm-hmm. If it is too small, if it is undersized, you're not going to be able to carry what you should carry in it.
Mm. Now, you briefly went over some of the things. You want clothing, important documents. So these will be like what we'll be talking, passport, identification, wallets, that sort of thing.
Yes, your insurance policy. Yes, your passport, ID, money you will need to keep in it and you go by. A first aid kit, blanket to keep warm, a change of clothing, sturdy shoes, flashlight, toiletries, child care supply, some water. Food is important, but if you can buy light food like ramen, granola bars, and food like what the soldiers would eat, and you need a whistle in it, can opener if you have canned food, pen and pencils, those medication, those are the sort of things that you would need to make sure that you have in your go bike. And don't forget, you also should put in like your first aid kit and mask. Keep like a pocket knife. You know what would be a good thing? Like the Swiss knife that would have a number of different can opener. That's a good tool to have in a go bike. Anything that can help you to survive. Of course, you can only put so much in it. So make sure that you're carrying what is essential.
Mm-hmm. What I would add as well to Kashi is if you're going to have kids, let them put perhaps their favorite toy or a pack of cards or something to help pass the time. Because as you would appreciate, the children, if they have to evacuate to a strange location, they're going to be a little restless.
Yes.
And having that comfort can actually go a long way. And having the game cards or so on, or their favorite board game, can help pass the time. And of course, their favorite stuffed toy, if they're young kids, will bring some level of comfort to them.
But the smaller not the huge one.
No.
And not only the kids, not only the kids, but even for adults. I mean, we are in an environment that may be strange to us. You might get a little bored, a little restless. So little card games will do. Now, you want to save your phone. So we're not encouraging you to be playing games on your phone because you don't know if the power goes down when you can recharge it. So if you have a game like Uno or Phase 10 that can bring some laughter and some fun, those are good games to have. Flashlight and batteries, those are good things to have in your go bag as well.
And you mentioned cell phones. I think it's important then you probably have a power pack for it, because, you know, in cases where you lose power and the cell phone, the mobile phone is a very integral part of our existence now. And it will be important to have something like that there in your go bag. Is there anywhere that does Sagicor have a list of things perhaps that we can put in the go bag? Or is that just something that you just speak to your agent about?
Last year, our customer experience department developed a list that can assist the customers. So we will be happy, and we mailed it out to our customers. We will be happy once again to share that list with you.
All
right. And so I will have to check and if it is on our website, should be, but we'll be happy to share that list with you if you require one.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's information that we can all use. I'm pretty sure all that are listening right now, they're taking it all in. I for sure was taking mental notes of what we need. Now, before we leave home, hopefully we don't have to, but let's look at when the disaster is coming and we have to talk electrical safety. At what point do we turn our power off during a hurricane? Or do we turn it off before, during, when should we do that?
There's no right or wrong here, Kashi. We can't say when you should, because if we're keeping up to date and we're looking at the television, you have to keep your power on. Mm-hmm. If you want to keep your food as it's fresh for as long as possible in the fridge. You have to keep the power on to the fridge. What we can say, though, is that you can begin to turn off the unnecessary things. You can turn off the power, let's say, to the washing machine. You probably will not be cooking during the hurricane, so if you have an electric stove, you can turn off the power to that. But you try to keep the power on as long as possible. Now, we can't lay down the rules here, so don't depend on us, but that's a personal matter. I mean, if you're having electrical strikes from lightning, you may want to consider whether you want to keep it on because it could damage your sensitive equipment. But again, that's a judgment call. You have to decide that. But you try as best as possible to keep it on as long as possible. And light and power kind of guide you in that. They may shut off the power when they think it is really dangerous. But that one is up to you.
All right. And I know sometimes there is some confusion, and I actually recently had to explain to someone that there is a difference between the power strip and a surge protector. Sometimes people have the power strips and thinking that that's fine, but that's simply just an extension with multiple ends. So we need to advise them, you know, make sure you actually have those surge protectors when you have your sensitive equipment, especially. Now, at what point do you decide to go to a shelter? Is there a particular time? Do you wait till the house is compromised? When do you see the need to go to a shelter?
Okay, when you're doing your planning, you would know your vulnerabilities of the structure that you're within. And obviously you have your watch and you have your warning. If when the warning is issued, there is sufficient reason to think that your house may become breached or compromised during the passage of the system, that is when you make the decision to evacuate. Obviously, you want to be in touch with your shelter warden. You would have done in your planning phase, you would have identified the shelter closest to you. And this is a category one shelter, because category one shelters are the ones that are open on the approach of a system. Category two shelters are the ones that are opened once they're structurally sound after the passage of a system. So you want to identify your category one shelter. You want to identify what I call the high road to that shelter, a road that is not likely to be impacted by severe flooding, that you can still make it there, whether you have to walk or you're driving. Obviously, if you're walking, you want to make that decision to move earlier. One of the things that you should have also had in your plans is the contact number for that shelter warden, so that you will be appraised as to when the shelter will be open. And you leave in good time to be there when the shelter opens. Obviously, if you have small kids and so on, you take them into consideration. If you have the elderly, obviously you would have made preparations for them. And if you have also the infirm or the immobile, you obviously need to make preparations for them as well. So once the warning is given, you want to start your plans trickling forward so that you are safe rather than sorry.
Now, we mentioned the go bags earlier. Is there anything in addition to that go bag that you should take when you're going to the shelters?
Well, big thing is identification. You want to make sure you have your national ID card or driver's license. You also want to take some personal documents, perhaps birth certificates for the children, perhaps some marriage certificates. But these things are going to be in a watertight container. And I like to be doubly sure, so I place mine in a large Ziploc bag and then into a watertight document container. But you want to have, as I said, the identification and identifying documents so that, let's say for what instance you may become injured, or let's say you are diabetic and you, because of the anxiety, you may not have been treating to your diabetes condition properly. And having the information there on hand that persons can see that you are diabetic could also be important. I'm also one of the persons who preach about wristbands and bracelets. If you're asthmatic, if you're hypertensive, if you're diabetic, whatever special condition you may have, if you have an identifying bracelet that others can know what your condition is, that also is very, very important as well.
And Cashi, don't in the environment that we are in now with the COVID virus, you have to make sure that when you go to the shelter now, that you have sanitizers.
Yes.
And you have your mask. Otherwise, you may not get into the shelter, right, and it's going to create problems. So those things must go into your kit. And they're not going to be providing comfortable beds and pillows for you to sleep on. So maybe you would want to take a sleeping bag or a sleeping mat. That will, of course, make life as comfortable as possible. It's not home, it's not luxury, but at least you can still have a fairly good rest.
Mm-hmm. Quickly, some do's and don'ts for when the hurricane is coming. Any advice you want to share with the listeners?
Yes. Well, I can give you some, and I guess Richard will give you some. So I'll give you both some do's and don'ts. For example, some do's is to make sure that you keep in tune, whether you watch your television or you listen to the radio. Make sure that you watch out for power, for lines that are down, because you don't know whether they are live. And you want to take some photos for the insurance. Sagicor will honor your claim, but you need to prove that you had these things. So you may want to take some photos for the insurance purposes. So some don'ts: don't run around outside during the hurricane. This is not about sightseeing. Don't go surfing because the surf is out and the waves look good. Make sure that you stay away from your windows. This is not the time to be looking out. Don't drink water even from the tap unless the government, the water authority say that it is safe. And don't overhype the storm so that you put people in a panic. Don't do that. And if you have to go outside, don't drive through water. 2 feet of water can wash a car away. And while it is not a major problem in Barbados, I know of situations where cars have been washed into the sea or homes washed away. We know of one Calypsonian who lost his life. I know of a teacher who lost the car. Fortunately, she got out, but she lost the car when it was washed away into the sea. So those are some of my do's and don'ts.
Yeah, Cashi, what I would say is that hurricanes are not spectator sports. They're best survived in safe confines of a shelter, whether that shelter be your home or an emergency shelter. And of course, the other thing I would want to say is that never be complacent. And being complacent is, you know, there's the eye of the storm. You don't want to venture outside because you've heard the wind die down or anything. Be cognizant of the eye of the storm. But in these modern times, one of the things that I really would like to underscore is please refrain from sending information that you cannot verify.
Mm-hmm.
You are not Starcom network per se, so you're not given the 430 latest. You may have received images of damage that may be 5-6 years old. Yeah. And then you share those and then people get alarmed because, oh, that house is close to me, and they get worried.
Mm.
Please don't share information that has not been independently verified. And that's why we say listen to the radio stations. The radio stations often will give you ongoing live coverage. And that is the best way for you to get information. And if you want your friends to get information, encourage them to listen to the station so that they're aware firsthand that you don't have to relay information. It saves your phone battery and it saves you being embarrassed after because you've shared information that was less than accurate.
Very, very, very important information. Now, I mean, this time has run away from us. That's why I mean trying to cram all this information into half an hour is so hard. But just remind the listeners how they can contact you, how they can get further information on the policies and the packages that you offer.
Well, for any information on any Sagicor General product, please feel free to give us a call at 431-2800. That's 431-2800. We're also on all the major social media channels, so you can find us on Facebook, you can find us on Instagram, you can find us on Twitter, you can find us on LinkedIn. And of course, we're part of the One Sagicor family, so you can find us online at www.sagicor.com. No. So, you know, reach out to us, send us an email, sgi-info@sagicorgeneral.com. Give us a call, or agents are listening, and our customer experience team is ready and willing to assist you. Give you suggestions on the right policy for you. And of course, our underwriting team welcomes you all into the family of Sagicor General. So you can be prepared, you can be safe, and you can know that even in the event of a hurricane, that you are covered with Satco General.
Well, Corey Motley, thank you very much for spending some time with us this morning. Richard Smith, likewise, thank you very much for spending some time and sharing some very important information with the public. Have a good day.
It was my pleasure.
That last 30 minutes was brought to you with the kind compliments of Sagicor General Insurance. And that's my time. Whatever you do for the remainder of the day, be good, be safe. I'll catch you guys tomorrow morning from 5 a.m. I'm Cashy, and I'm out.
June, too soon. July, stand by. August, we must. September, remember. October, soon over. November, all over.
An old mariner's rhyme. In preparation for this hurricane season, Sagicor General reminds you to take all necessary safety precautions to protect yourself, home, car, family, and business. Get the protection you need from Sagicor General. Give us a call at 431-2800 or email us at getcovered@sagicorgeneral.com. Sagicor General, wise financial thinking for life. To take all necessary safety precautions to protect yourself, home, car, family, and business. Get the protection you need from Sagicor General. Give us a call at 431-2800 or email us at getcovered@sagicorgeneral.com. Sagicor General, wise financial thinking for life.